Hello, my name is Jacqueline, and I'm a very proud grandma. I write stories for my grandchildren, and I'm happy to share them with you too. So make yourself comfortable, because my next story is about to begin. Louis becomes curious. Early one Saturday morning, Louis woke up feeling very hungry. He didn't know what the time was, but he thought it must be time for breakfast as his tummy was rumbling. He got out of bed and went into the hallway and listened. He could hear snoring, so he knew his dad was still asleep. He peeked into his sister Kelty's bedroom and saw she was still asleep. So he crept downstairs to find his mum. Mum was always first up and could usually be found sitting at the kitchen table enjoying a nice cup of tea. But this morning she wasn't there. Only Dougie was in the kitchen, fast asleep in his basket, but he soon woke up when he sensed Louis come into the room. Louis's tummy rumbled again as he went over and stroked Dougie. He thought about going back upstairs to wake his mum up, but decided he could make his own breakfast. He patted Dougie's head before going to the cupboard where the box of cereal was kept. Then he gathered a bowl, spoon and a carton of milk and very carefully made his breakfast. Before long, Mum came into the kitchen and found Louis sitting on the floor, sharing his food with Dougie and Susie the cat. "You're up early," Mum said, ruffling Louis's hair and trying not to complain about the mess upon the floor. "Couldn't you sleep?" "I had enough sleep," replied Louis. He sipped the last of his milk from his bowl, spilling some of it down his pyjamas. "That's good," said Mum, taking a damp cloth and wiping Louis's mucky face and pyjamas. "You need as much sleep as you can get." "Why?" Louis asked as he put his bowl and spoon into the sink. "Because just like eating, sleep is necessary for our survival. Sleep gives our body a rest and allows it to prepare for the next day," Mum explained. "Does everyone need to sleep, even Dougie and Susie?" asked Louis, slightly curious now. "Yes, every creature needs to sleep, even giraffes, rabbits, lions, grandma's babies and all your friends," Mum explained as she cleared up the mess from the floor. "Sleep gives our brain a chance to sort things out and store information. Without sleep, we could become moody and forgetful." Just then, Kelty and her dad came into the kitchen and Louis forgot all about sleep. The next morning when Louis woke up, he remembered a dream he'd had during the night and wondered why he dreamt. Dreams didn't seem very useful, and sometimes they even scared him. So why did he dream? He jumped out of bed and ran downstairs to the kitchen where his mum was making breakfast with Kelty. "Mum, why do I dream?" he asked curiously. "Good morning, Louis," Mum said, smiling at her son. "Morning, Louis," said Kelty as she buttered some hot toast. "Oh, morning, Mummy. Morning, Kelty," replied Louis, noticing that his tummy was rumbling as he sat down at the kitchen table. The smell of food always seemed to make his tummy rumble. "Why does my tummy rumble?" he asked, curious about this now and forgetting about his dream. "Because you're hungry," Kelty replied, remembering when she used to ask questions about everything when she was Louis's age. Mum put a box of cereal and a carton of milk onto the table. "Let's get breakfast ready and then I'll answer your questions," she said to Louis. "Get the plates and cutlery out for us, please, and lay the table." Louis scraped his chair back from the table and done as he was told, all the while trying to ignore his rumbling tummy. Kelty placed plates of toast and chopped up fruit onto the table just as Dad came into the kitchen. "Good morning, tribe," he said cheerfully as he took a seat at the table. "How are we all this morning?" "Louis has some questions you may like to answer for him," said Mum. pleased that she didn't have to answer them now. When they were all sitting at the table, Dad asked, "What are your questions, son?" Louis poured some cereal and milk into a bowl as he explained. "When I woke up this morning, I remembered a dream I had. It was a nice dream about me running with Dougie in the forest, and then some other dogs came over and played with him. But sometimes I have scary dreams, like the other night when I dreamt that I was being chased by giant ants. Why do we dream, Daddy?" Dad took a bite of his buttered toast before answering.
"Well, I believe dreaming is the way our brains sort out all the sights, smells, sounds and events which have happened throughout our day," he said, taking a sip of hot sweet tea his wife had made for him. "Dreams help us store important memories, such as things we've learnt, and gets rid of unimportant memories that we don't really need," he explained.
"Like the time next door's dog bit me?" asked Louis.
"Yes, that's right," agreed Dad. "That's not something you want to remember, is it? Dreams help us sort through complicated thoughts and feelings."
"But why do I have nightmares?" Louis asked, his curiosity growing.
"Nightmares can happen because you watched something on the television or you read something in a book which may have scared you, even slightly," explained Dad, "especially if you experience it before you go to bed. Now, eat up your cereal, Louis."
Louis ate his breakfast as he thought about what his dad had said. Then he remembered something. "The other day at school, we learnt about ants, and they looked massive in the pictures and quite scary. Not like the ants I see in the garden. It makes me shudder just thinking about it. And that's the night I had a nightmare about them."
"That's probably what caused that nightmare to happen," agreed Dad. "But sometimes nightmares can happen for no reason that we can think of at all."
"Or they can happen if we are overtired and have not had enough sleep," said Mum, remembering their conversation from yesterday morning. Louis smiled at his mum as he also remembered. He finished his cereal and then asked, "Can nightmares hurt me, Dad?"
"No," replied Dad, making himself a bowl of cereal and placing some fruit on top. "Nightmares make us feel scared or upset, but we must remember they are not real and can't harm us."
Mum poured herself and Dad another cup of tea. "Ask Dad your other question, Louis," she said. Louis thought about this as he took a bite of his buttery toast. "I can't think of it now," he said, licking the dripping butter from his fingers.
"That's because you're eating," said Kelty, laughing. "Do you not remember how hungry you felt this morning?"
"Oh, yes," exclaimed Louis as he remembered. "Dad, why does my tummy rumble when I'm hungry?"
"That's called borborygmus," said Dad.
"That's a weird word," said Louis.
"Yes, it is," said Dad, and he went on to explain. "When the muscles in our digestive system moves food and liquids through our stomach, it produces a rumbling sound. The muscles in the tube squeeze to keep everything moving along. Our body absorbs what it needs and then gets rid of what it doesn't."
"Is that when I need to go to the toilet for number twos?" asked Louis.
"Yes, that's right," said Dad, smiling. "Borborygmus can happen any time and quite often. The sounds are normally muffled when there's a lot of food in the tubes, but when the tubes are empty, the sounds are much louder. And when our stomach has been empty for a while, like in the morning after a long night's sleep, the muscles squeeze more often, which causes even more rumbling and sounds like an empty tin can."
"Thanks for explaining that, Dad. I've often wondered the same thing myself, but never thought to ask why," said Kelty, thankful for Louis's curiosity this morning. "Okay," said Mum. "Enough questions for now. Let's finish breakfast and get tidied up." That night, Louis lay in bed wondering what he would dream about. It was dark, but he could just make out certain shapes in his bedroom. As he tried to adjust his sight to the darkness, his mind began thinking about his amazing body, how clever it was, from dealing with the food he ate to the different senses he used throughout each day. He was just about to go to sleep when he heard a noise. Noises always seemed louder when it was dark.
His dad had told him it had something to do with not being able to see so clearly in the dark. At times like this, our brain relied more on sound to understand the environment around us, and so our hearing became sharper. Louis reached over to touch his rocket. He liked the feel of it when it was dark. It comforted him knowing something familiar was close by. He snuggled into his pillow, allowing many questions to drift through his mind as he began to fall asleep. "What shall we do tonight?" asked Molly as she and Louis strapped themselves into the seats in the rocket. "I've been thinking about how clever our bodies are," explained Louis. "Is it true that carrots can help us see in the dark? And why can I not hear things my dog can?" "Well, I'm not sure I can answer your questions accurately enough for you," answered Molly, "but I know just the place to visit where I have some special friends who can." And immediately she began twisting and turning the knobs on the control panel. "Ready for takeoff?" she asked. "Always ready," replied Louis. "Then let's go." And the rocket blasted off. It wasn't long before they landed. "Is this a jungle?" asked Louis as they climbed out of the rocket. There were huge trees and bushes as far as the eye could see. Exotic flowers of assorted colours grew amongst different grasses of many shades of green. The sky was blue, and although the sun was blazing down upon them, a gentle breeze made the temperature feel just right. "I suppose it could be described as a jungle," answered Molly, looking around. "But I've only ever thought of this place as home to my special animal friends, some of which I would like you to meet." "What animals?" asked Louis, looking around a little anxiously, wondering what kind of animal would appear first. "Special animals who can answer your questions," replied Molly. "Now, what would you like to know about first?" "How about our sense of smell? There are lots of different smells around here," Louis said, sniffing the air. "Yes, there are," agreed Molly. "These wild orchids smell gorgeous, don't you think?" Louis bent over and smelt a beautiful pinky red orchid and took a deep sniff in.
"Oi, I nearly disappeared up your nose," exclaimed a little voice.
Louis jumped back just as a furry bee covered in pollen crawled out of the flower.
"Oh, sorry," apologised Louis. "I didn't know you were in there."
"Oh, that's okay," said the bee.
"Hello, Molly. It's good to see you."
"Hello, honey. I'm looking for Zane. Have you seen him around anywhere?"
"I'll take a look for you." And honey flew up into the air. "He's not too far away," she said, returning to the orchid. "If you keep walking along this path, you will get to him."
"Ah, thanks, honey. Have a good day," said Molly.
"Bye."
And the bee went back to collecting pollen. Molly and Louis walked down the path and soon saw Zane. Zane was an African elephant, and Louis was a little shocked at the size of him.
"Hello, Molly," Zane said. "And who is this with you?"
"This is Louis," said Molly, moving Louis forward slightly as he was standing a little nervously behind her. "Zane is a real gentle giant and won't hurt you, Louis," she said reassuringly. Zane slowly held out his trunk to Louis.
"Nice to meet you, Louis," he said.
Louis touched the elephant's trunk. "Nice to meet you too," he replied a little shyly. "Louis is curious about the sense of smell and would like to learn more about it," said Molly. "As your breed has the best sense of smell in the whole animal kingdom, I thought you might be the perfect creature to tell him about it."
"Well, let me see if I can think of some interesting facts for you, Louis," said Zane.
He waved his trunk up and down whilst he thought for a moment. "You have a very long nose," said Louis. "I'm not surprised you have the best sense of smell in the world."
"I can smell water up to 12 miles away," Zane said proudly.
Just then, something moved in the nearby tree. It was a snake who slithered closer to them.
"What are you talking about?" the snake hissed.
"Hello, Sammy," said Molly cheerfully. "We're talking about the sense of smell. This is my friend Louis. Tell him how you smell things." Sammy turned to Louis and flicked his tongue out, nearly touching Louis's nose, which made him jump.
I use my tongue to smell things, Sammy hissed. As I flick my tongue in and out of my mouth, I catch the smell of my dinner in the air. I use my tongue to pick up on all kinds of scents around me.
Wow, exclaimed Louis, quite fascinated. He looked closer at the snake's face.
But it looks like you have a nose on your face, he said, looking at what appeared to be two small round holes very close to Sammy's mouth. Why don't you just use that instead of your tongue?
Well, yes, I suppose it does look like a nose, Sammy hissed, and my nostrils do slightly help with my sense of smell, but they are mainly used to get oxygen into my body, Sammy explained, and he flicked his tongue out again.
This time Louis was ready and watched with awe as the snake's tongue stretched out towards him and almost touched his nose again.
Your tongue looks like it's got a tear in it, Louis said.
It's called a forked tongue, hissed Sammy. It's very useful as it allows me to detect from which direction the smell of my food is coming.
Well, that's clever, said Louis. I wish I could do that with my tongue.
My trunk is pretty special too, announced Zane, not wanting to be left out. By waving it around high in the air, I can detect many new scents and I know exactly where they are coming from. My trunk is also very good for pushing and carrying logs.
My nose seems pretty useless compared to the two of you, sighed Louis.
Every nose is special, no matter what it looks like, said Zane. Smelling helps us decide what to eat, as well as warning us about danger, such as nearby fires or food which has gone rotten.
Louis began to sniff the air and noticed all the amazing smells around him.
I can't imagine not being able to smell things, he said. Although I do remember when I had a bad cold last week. My nose was blocked and I couldn't smell anything for a while. Come to think of it, I couldn't taste much either.
Why was that? He asked Zane.
Smell and taste go together, explained Zane. You wouldn't taste anything without some help from your nose. The odours from our food helps us enjoy great tastes.
Louis looked puzzled.
Let's give it a try. It will make more sense to you then, Zane suggested. Go and pick that orange hanging on the tree over there.
Louis looked over to where Zane was pointing with his trunk. To his surprise, there was a single orange hanging on a tree. He went over and plucked it from the branch.
Now peel it, said Zane.
Louis did as he was told. It smells yummy, he said.
Take a bite, Zane instructed.
Without having to be told twice, Louis bit into the orange. It was so sweet and juicy. Licking his lips, he went to take another bite.
Wait a moment, Zane said quickly. Before you take another bite, tell us how it tasted.
It is delicious, said Louis, wiping his chin, which had orange juice running down it. It's really sweet, and the flavour is so much stronger than the oranges my mum buys at the supermarket.
Oh, it sounds scrumptious, said Molly. Would you like a bite? Asked Louis, always willing to share with others.
Not just yet, Louis, Zane stopped him. First, I want you to take another bite. But before you do, pinch your nose and hold it tight while you eat another mouthful of the orange.
Louis did as instructed. After swallowing, he released his nose and said, rather disappointedly,
that bite of orange hardly had any taste at all.
And that is why we also need our sense of smell to enjoy our food, said Zane. Another reason why we must appreciate our nose.
So how do we taste? Asked Louis.
Your tongue is covered in around 9,000 taste buds, located mostly on the sides and top of your tongue, said Zane. Taste buds are important because, like smell, they indicate the safety of a given food.
That's a lot of taste buds, said Louis. Is that the same for all animals?
No, the amount varies from animal to animal depending on their particular diet, Zane explained. For example, cats have just under 500 taste buds and pigs have around 15,000. But no creature has as many as the catfish,
announced Sammy. They have more than 175,000 taste buds.
Wow! Exclaimed Louis, finding it hard to even imagine how that many taste buds could possibly be on the catfish's tongue. Their tongue must be enormous.
Well, actually, the catfish's taste buds are located all over their body, including its fins and tail, Sammy went on to explain. But they are most abundant around the whiskers surrounding its mouth. It's their whiskers which got them the name catfish, as they look like cat whiskers.
But what good are the taste buds on their body? Louis asked, puzzled.
Well, the bottom-dwelling catfish lives in muddy, murky waters, which is very dark and makes it almost impossible for them to see, explained Sammy. Therefore, they use their whiskers along with all the taste buds on their body to detect when food is nearby. They can pinpoint the exact location of their next meal from miles away.
Just then, a snail popped his head out from under a leaf close by Sammy. I've been listening to you and found it most interesting about the catfish, the snail said. But I think us snails have an even more interesting fact.
What's that? Asked Louis, his curiosity rising again.
We snails have the most teeth of any animal, the snail proudly announced.
How is that possible? Louis asked, trying to control the urge to giggle at such a thought. Your mouth can't be much bigger than a pinhead. I find it hard to believe you have any teeth at all.
It's true, my mouth is small, agreed the snail. But I have over 14,000 teeth. These aren't like regular teeth, but they are still classed as teeth, and they are on my tongue.
Louis still looked puzzled as the snail continued.
The snail raised his head up high as he began to explain. I have a band of microscopic teeth which are arranged in tight rows on my tongue. I do not use these teeth to chew, though. Instead, the teeth slice off the food, then shreds and scrapes it as it passes along my tongue. And when my teeth get dull, they fall out and regrow.
Louis was fascinated by what the snail was saying. He was just about to count his own teeth when something flew very close to his face, making him jump. He stepped back and saw a tiny moth settle on a leaf. It was a mottled grey colour and just a little bigger than Louis's thumbnail.
I'm a greater wax moth, the moth said proudly. I've been listening to you all and I wanted you to know that I have the best hearing in the animal kingdom.
Better than a dog? Asked Louis.
Dogs can hear things at a pitch more than 3 times higher than humans, explained the moth. But my hearing is 15 times better than humans. And he flew up into the air feeling very pleased with himself.
At that moment, creatures began appearing from everywhere, each wanting to share about their own unique gift. But the noise they were making as they all started chattering together made it impossible for Louis to hear them.
One at a time, please, Molly shouted, loud enough to make herself heard. We can't understand any of you when you all talk at once.
The animals went quiet for a moment, and then an ostrich spoke out.
I have the largest eyes of any living land animal, she announced, lowering her head to look directly into Louis's eyes. See?
You do have big eyes, agreed Louis. They look about the same size as one of my dad's billiard balls, but you also have a very small head.
I know, said the ostrich, moving her head back. In fact, my eyes are bigger than my brain, but I am considered to be quite an intelligent bird.
She raised her head up high and looked around.
With my long neck and excellent vision, I can see in great detail over vast distances, very helpful for keeping an eye out for predators.
Louis, you have a question about sight which the ostrich may be able to answer for you, Molly reminded him.
Oh, yes, I do, Louis said. Turning to the ostrich, he asked, if I eat lots of carrots, will they help me see in the dark?
Well, although eating carrots are definitely good for you, they won't give you pure night vision,
explained the ostrich, but eating them will certainly help to keep your eyes healthy. Carrots are rich in vitamin A, which is important for good vision. I get lots of vitamin A from the leafy greens, plants and flowers I eat. A dragonfly hovered in front of Louis and announced, "I have better vision than the ostrich." With the dragonfly so close to him, Louis could see his eyes perfectly in a way he had never been able to before. "Your eyes cover almost your entire head," Louis said in surprise. "That is correct," said the dragonfly smugly. "And I can see things faster than other creatures because I see in all directions at the same time." A hummingbird flew over, eager to speak. She was only slightly bigger than the dragonfly. "I am the smallest bird in the world," she announced proudly, "and I weigh less than a penny." Louis was fascinated as he watched the tiny bird hover in front of him. "I can hardly see your wings," he said, marvelling at the speed at which she moved them. "That is because I beat them nearly 200 times per second," she said. "And another interesting fact is that I am the only bird able to fly backwards and upside down." And she flew off, demonstrating her rare skill. Louis didn't have long to process these interesting facts before a bat flew over. "I am the only mammal who can fly," he said, spreading his large wings out. "And look, my wings are my arms and hands. I have shoulders, elbows and wrists like you, and my four long fingers and a thumb are each connected to the next by a thin layer of skin which creates my wings so I can fly." Louis studied the bat for a moment. He noticed that the bat's thumbs were situated on the top of its wings. "I can't believe you have thumbs," he said, smiling. "But they do look a little strange." "That's because they have a claw on the end of them, which enables me to climb and handle food," the bat explained. A weird noise grabbed Louis's attention. He turned around and saw a big gorilla making strange burping sounds. But that wasn't the only strange thing. The gorilla was bending down and tickling a rat who was laughing uncontrollably, seemingly quite enjoying the experience. "Hey, what's going on?" asked Louis, going over to the unlikely friends. The gorilla stood up and the rat immediately scurried up onto the gorilla's shoulder.
"We are good friends," announced the gorilla joyfully.
"And we like to make each other happy," squeaked the rat, just as joyfully as the gorilla. "You were laughing so much," Louis said, smiling at the rat. "You obviously enjoy being with each other."
"Having playful fun times together makes us better friends and also keeps our stress levels low and our energy levels high," squeaked the rat.
"And you were making some strange noises," Louis said to the gorilla.
"Oh, yes, I guess they probably did sound a bit strange," said the gorilla. "You see, I burp when I'm happy. I can't help it. It's just something we gorillas do. I like to think of it as more of a happy humming sound than a noisy burp."
Just then, in a nearby tree, something caught Louis's eye. He moved closer to get a better look and saw one of the most colourful creatures in the world, a chameleon. Louis didn't know much about chameleons and was curious to find out a few interesting facts, such as why did they change colour. As if the chameleon could read Louis's mind, she said,
"We are lizards and vary in size. The reason we change colour is not to hide or blend in, as we are generally found where our normal colour matches our surroundings. For example, I'm a green chameleon, so I would typically be found here among greenery like these leaves and bushes, while my friend, the brown chameleon, may be found on the ground amongst the rocks and dirt. The reason we change colour is caused by a reaction to temperature, light and our mood."
"Your mood?" exclaimed Louis, quite astonished by this unexpected answer.
"Yes," said the chameleon. "If I turn very dark, then beware, as I could be angry or maybe I am frightened. But when I show a bright, vibrant colour, I am generally content and happy. But all that said, I feel the most important reason for my different colour tones is to help regulate my body temperature."
"You look happy now," said Louis, noticing the green colour of the chameleon appearing more bright and vibrant than earlier.
"I am," the chameleon agreed, "and that is because I want to share my greatest ability with you."
And before Louis had time to blink, she flicked out her tongue.
"Oh!" Louis exclaimed as he tried to step back out of the way.
But the chameleon's tongue was so fast it touched Louis's cheek and felt very sticky. As Louis wiped his cheek clean, the chameleon said,
"My tongue is the most famous tongue in the world because, in relation to my body size, it is the longest tongue in the world."
And she flicked her tongue out again, this time away from Louis's face.
"Unlike any other creature, my tongue is twice as long as I am and moves faster than a fighter jet."
"That's very impressive," said Louis. "But why does your tongue feel so sticky?"
"So I can catch insects unawares. The sticky ends of my tongue help in trapping my prey as quick as a flash."
And she flicked out her tongue, catching some unsuspecting passing insects. Louis found it quite surreal being surrounded by all the different creatures. None of them made him feel scared. They all made him feel welcome and were so friendly and keen to talk. He was just about to measure the length of his tongue against the chameleon's tongue when he heard Molly say, "Louis, I think it's time we left before we outstay our welcome." Louis looked around at all the creatures before him. He really had enjoyed his time with them. He thanked each one for sharing all their interesting facts with him as he said his goodbyes.
"Come back and see us any time," said Zane. "We have many more friends who couldn't be here today, each with their own uniqueness. I know they will love to share with you."
As the animals disappeared into the trees, Molly and Louis made their way back to the rocket. "Did you get all your questions answered, Louis?" asked Molly as she started up the rocket.
"Yes, and many more that I hadn't even thought about before," he replied.
As Louis sat back in his seat, he suddenly felt very tired and yawned. Rubbing his eyes to try and keep awake, he couldn't wait to get back into his bed. He felt too exhausted to think about all the knowledge he had gained from the conversations with the amazing animal kingdom. That could all wait until tomorrow. For now, Louis felt happy, knowing that each and every creature was special and deserved their place on Earth. With this thought in mind, his eyes slowly began to close and he gently fell asleep.
Thank you for listening to my story. I hope you enjoyed it. Before you go, I'd like to ask you a question. What extraordinary fact do you know about an animal? You can share your answer with me by either going to my website, grandmahasastory.com, or by visiting my Instagram page, Grandma Has a Story, and don't forget to check me out on TikTok. Thanks again for listening, and come back soon to hear another story from Grandma. Bye for now.